fucking crazy, man. And I know there's a million motherfuckers out there that feel just like I do. Sick and tired of listening to all this pop shit on the radio. Bands acting like they're hard when their music's just some pop shit. Some pussy shit. Fuck that. You know, I think it's time we take this shit back.
Bitch, I don't care. Bitch, I don't care.
Everybody, welcome to Friday night. It's the Rogue Show. First and foremost, before we get kicking into this crazy show that's going to break down MMA like you've never seen, big shout out to my kick-ass sponsors, the Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon, man. Anytime you're near it, hit them up. Cold beers, hot chicks, big screens, MMA, football, the works. MMAMadhouse.com for all the love, letting us steal and hijack all this shit every weekend and run this. Vision Smoke Shop Glass Distribution, holding my nice hammer in my hand right now as we speak. You know how they do it, a piece for your pocket, or if you need to fill all the shelves on your store, you can hit them up at VisionSmokes.com. The number one fucking mouth guard in the business. Get stitched, protect that grill. Don't spend 10 G's down the road. Spend the money now, the best price you can get. Get a custom grill, mouth guard, you'll love it. Greg at Ink Tank Tattoo does all my work. Big shout out to him. Go Fight Live TV, the best place for iPay-per-view combat sports in the world. Also, want to give a big shout out to Revolver MMA. Got mad love for Javier and the boys. You guys go check them out. Also, go to ArabsMMA.com and vote for Javier's picture. Get out there. One last thing. Big shout out. Happy birthday to the one and only Bloodstained Lane. Mapaki, my co-host as always, he's riding down this dark tunnel into hell with me, it seems like. How you doing tonight, brother?
I hope I'm not on the tunnel to hell.
Oh, fuck, dude. We're gangster, dude. Look at this. It's Friday night. When you guys know how we're going to start it. We're going to have fun.
Dude, it's Friday night. I just watched the greatest fight. That right, I don't even know, man. That shit was nuts. That was absolutely crazy. I don't even know when I've seen a fight that was that good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Tonight, it went down everywhere. Started late. Let's be honest. Oplot kicked it off this morning, motherfuckers. And you know how we talk, dude. Oplot is the shit.
Friday, but one FC was rolling before Oplot.
That's true. I'm thinking, though, one FC was more wrapping up for the night for us than starting the day.
Five in the morning is kind of starting the day.
What are you talking about? Like 9, 10. Motherfucker, who gets up at 5 a.m.?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
going to
what I'm saying.
5
in the morning. He rich.
Yeah.
You're old with kids, bro. You're going to bed at 5 a.m.
Dude, I go to bed about.
You've got a four in your birth, like in your age, bro. You're ancient, man.
Yeah, I might be old, but I can still whoop your ass. Trust me. That's why the title's right here and not over there.
It's just because I let you keep it, so I know where it's at.
I guess that's
kinda like I'm too humble to really want to have it in my own possession, so I just allow you to keep track of it.
Okay, well, we'll call you Anderson Silva. You can call me Chris Weeman, motherfucker.
I thought that was the blowjob belt.
Yeah, it does get you blowjobs. I've worn that thing out to the store with the 7-Eleven. I had like 4 years. Let me blow you, senor. Now, back to the MMA shit real quick. It's been a great day for MMA, man. I mean, obviously Havoc went down tonight. Legacy went down tonight. U.S. Freedom Fighting Championships went down tonight. UFC went down tonight. Plus a bunch of other events, but I know OKO Boxing went down tonight. Fuck, what other event were we at? I know we were somewhere else, but
USFFC.
Oh, World Series of Fighting. That's right. We were there for the weigh-ins.
USFFC.
I said that. U.S. Freedom Fighting Championships.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. And then we were also a battlefield for the weigh-in. So, but it's been a great just today alone, man. I mean, obviously, the UFC card, we're going to talk about that. I want to give a big fucking shout-out to my boy Billy Boo from Boo Jitsu. The motherfucker went in there and did work tonight.
That was a great fight.
Great fight, man. Though it's so funny because they kept talking about he needs to stay off the ground with this guy. He needs to stay off the ground with this guy. And I was like, dude, it's not called Bujitsu for nothing, motherfucker.
I thought he won the fight in the third round with his grappling.
Thank you. I agree with that shit very much.
When that guy shot that knee to the body and Billy picked him up and put him down, that was pretty slick.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because I know that Pete Spratt's not normally his corner man, but he was tonight, and you could hear Pete being very, very vocal in the corner. And I heard him say, dump him, when he threw that knee, and he did. He just, I mean, he drove that kid down. But he's very aggressive, man. I mean, his rubber guard was beautiful. His aggression from the bottom was badass. Oh, man. Hold on. Let's see who we got here. Hey, 267, you're live. Who do we got?
You already know who it is, Tim Cudges from GFL.TV. Guys, I don't know what I missed, other than me, who scored that fight for Mark Hunt.
Kyle? See, I kind of had it for Silva.
Hey, it was a close fight. It could have swayed either way. I'm not calling robbery.
I had 1, 2, and 4 for Silva. What did you have? Did you have 2, 3, and 5 for Hunt?
Yeah.
See, it's that fucking second round.
It's like fish fights. They sway rounds, swing rounds. They could go either way. That's why I'm not screaming robbery. It wasn't. It could have went either way. I favored Silva or Hunt at the end. But all right, that's enough of me talking about the doof of bullshit. You guys know why I'm here. Other than I love this show immensely, XFE31, tomorrow night, GFL.TV. But if you're in the Philadelphia area, you got to get down to Harris, Philadelphia, in Chester, Pennsylvania. It's gonna be one of those good old-fashioned, great match-made fights. I mean, the main event pulled out between Alessio and Pope, which I was looking forward to. After interviewing Bill Alessio, I'm like, well, you know, you ask that end question. What can fans watching around the world on GFL.TV or watching in attendance expect from you on Saturday night? He gave the best answer I ever heard. Sophisticated violence.
Sophisticated violence.
The moment he answered that, I was excited. Unfortunately, Mike Pope suffered a cut on his eye and couldn't compete. Now, luckily, XFE, David Feldman, you know, he puts together some great fights. So regardless, like, and these are great fights where you don't have to worry about these guys' records. He knows these fighters inside and out. He knows what styles will make the best fights. And he just bumped his co-main event up. His co-main event could have been a main event, any other local, regional MMA card in the area. It's the best nickname in MMA. Cedric Chocolate Thunder. Elder Psycho Ramos. Now, can Chocolate Thunder calm the psycho, or will the psycho murder him? I mean, both of these guys, like I said, look at the records.
Zombies. No, yeah, but look, my concern is that somebody at the level of Sam Apreza was able to finish Goodridge viciously with some TKOs back in Bellator earlier this year. Then he comes in against the man himself, Ong Long Sang, and gets choked out. So I have a little bit of issue because I know that he's had most of his losses, and I love Goodridge. I think he's a great guy to watch fight, but he gets knocked out too much. So I think he's going to get his ass handed to him, honestly. I think he's going to get knocked out in the second round.
Here's the thing. It's tough to pass medicals in Pennsylvania and Philly especially. So if he wasn't fit to fight, there's no way this fight would go on. Goodridge, you're right. He gets knocked out. But there's a lot of guys like that. Like, for example, Pat Barry got knocked out tonight. But is that son of a bitch ever in a dull fight?
No, and then look, and that's what I was saying. I like Goodridge. I think he's an exciting guy to watch. He's fun. He's flashy. And I know that, Ramos is on, like, a 3 or 4 fight win streak. And the thing is, he has won by head kick, by TKO, but from punches. This dude even threw down a heel hook on 46 seconds just at Operation Octagon like 2 months ago. Tap that dude out quick. I think that he's going to be able to beat Goodridge standing up. I think the first round will be super exciting. I see KO second round.
I think Goodridge, if he can take it to the ground, he'll be in good shape. Goodridge already said he's prepared to go, whether it be on his feet or on the ground, he's prepared to win it anyway. But like you said, he's one of those guys who's going to fight the fight regardless to please the fans. So if he goes out on a shield, I wouldn't be surprised. I just like this fight, especially for, you know, he's technically in my book an up-and-comer. He lost his first 2 fights and went on 4 straight wins. Elder Ramos. This is the perfect point to fight a fighter like Goodridge. A good all-around fighter who's been at the higher level of competition, who's been on the bigger stage. Ramos hasn't been there. So they're fighting in the main event in front of the world. And that's going to be a little bit pressure on Ramos.
The fans out there should be watching.
Goodridge is a GFL veteran, though.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Between a lot of other federations or MMA organizations on GFL and Bellator. He fought in Bellator too. And you know, he's got a 3-6 record, but like I always say, don't let the records fool you, especially with David Feldman matchmaking. This guy is not only the promoter, not only does he put on tons of fights a month, but he puts on great fights. Like for example, I think it was XFP 27, the first fight that he had when I came back to Philadelphia. He had just let go of his matchmaker and put that card together by himself. And you know what? They were all coin flip fights. Like you expected. That was when John DeBrosch just smoked out Neil Johnson, another Bellator veteran. Like you expected DeBrosch to get some rounds in this fight. I was thinking the distance. I was even leaning towards an upset. But, you know, DeBrosch smoked them out. Or the emergence of Anthony Terrell. Anthony Terrell's been on the scene. But, you know, the fight he put together with what was that guy's name? Not a big, a Pedro Velasco. Not a bad fighter,
yeah.
And Terrell just came out with that head kick and just shown that he's on the next level. Like, he's a future tough fighter. He's going to be on The Ultimate Fighter. We all know it. The next time there's tryouts in his weight class, I can almost guarantee he'll be on there. But you know what? David Feldman sees these kind of talents. And it's not like the other organizations yet where he's signing all these fighters. He's just letting fighters fight. He's not forcing them into I mean, there's going to come a point with his expansion that he's going to have to sign them. But he's just, at this point, letting the guys fight. And once again, even though the main event pulled out, the co-main event that's getting the bump could have been a main event on any of others' cards, too. Nick Wiley and Randall Brown for the 170-pound AMI XFE title.
Now, I'll tell you, in AMI, everyone should be paying attention to Israel Issy Canarcio or Canarcion.
Oh, he is good.
Dude, don't let his record fool you, folks. I believe both his losses were split decisions, one at XFE and one at Reality Fighting. So he's fighting at, you know, good places. I mean, places he could test himself. And this kid is a beast, man. He is a hell of a little amateur fighter, man. You guys should pay attention to him. 125.
There's another fight to look out for. Because I was talking to David Feldman, and I was like, you know, what fight's going to stand out? What fight's going to get that fight of the night? And he told me there's these two amateurs making their debuts. Hold on, let me get the names of these guys. Because once again, it's two amateurs making their debuts. Zach Love versus Andrew Bradley. He's saying, fight fans, look out for that fight. That fight's going to wow everybody. And he knows that based off these are two amateurs fighting. That making their debut. That's how involved in the MMA community this guy is. Like, he knows it's going to be a good fight with two amateurs that never fought before. Like, how do you know that? Especially in the Philadelphia, Jersey area. How do you know fighters that well? That's how dedicated this guy is to his job.
Well, and that's not the only kick-ass fucking card you got going down. You got Conflict MMA tomorrow also on GFL TV.
Yeah, and that's another thing. People can watch XFE 31 live. And they're like, oh, no, but we're not going to be able to watch Conflict MMA or vice versa. They might want to watch that. And they're like, damn it, I really want to see XFA. But if you haven't listened to the show or you're living under a rock, don't fret. Because with GFL, you can watch one fight live and watch one on demand the next day. And when you order these fights, you can order both of the fights live and just flip back and forth because you can watch whatever you missed on the GFL on demand.
Buy
for life.
Fucking Roku box, sit on your fucking couch, watch it on the fucking big screen, pull it up on your tablet, your cell phone, or laptop for the other fight. Look, dude, I'm all about the fucking Roku box and GFL, man. That's some legit shit right there.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? That's been going on forever, and it just never picks up steam like it should. I've had a Roku box since it dropped on GFL. Not to mention, it's not just GFL you can get. You get Netflix on there. As a boxing fan, I get Wealth TV. You pay $1 a month, and you get to see, like, one quality fight a month that Wealth TV puts on. And it's just like, I mean, and you guys, I can't even talk about it right now, but in the next few months, I'm going to be making some crazy announcements regarding GFL, and not to mention XFE. XFE, I can elaborate on a little bit more. XFE's expanded in different states. He's going to be putting on just 30 MMA shows this year. And now, if you don't know about David, David also promotes boxing, like you put on the Red and the Rumble card. He's going to put, listen to what happens to him boxing-wise. He has Bobby Gunn versus Roy Jones Jr. signed. 3 weeks before the fight, Roy Jones pulls out, decides to take a bigger money fight against some nobody in Russia. And then, instead of just quitting and or putting Bobby Gunn in against the easy opponent that he could walk through just to get the W, he matches him with the second guy to ever knock out Roy Jones. And a guy at this point of his career is so far superior to Roy Jones, like Glenn Johnson. Shout out to Bobby Gunn for taking that fight, too. He, like I said, he could have just took an easy fight where he walked over, got a W, and hoped Jones came around. Now he's going to beat, if, well, no, I'm not going to say he is going to beat, but if he beats Glenn Johnson, and could you imagine if he beats Glenn Johnson and then Roy Jones loses in Russia? The tides are going to turn. Roy Jones is going to be begging Bobby Gunn to fight, because once he took that fight in Russia, Bobby called him and begged him to be the opponent. He's like, fine, I'll go to Russia. I just want to fight you. It's a dream of mine. You agreed to it. Please fight me. I'll come to Russia, and I'll take short money to do so. But instead, he said, no, you can't fly an opponent in from Russia, but yet he, or from America, but yet he's flying an opponent in from France or something.
I was so surprised to see Glenn Johnson's name come up. And
I mean,
it's
Glenn Johnson's first fight at Cruiser. And, well, you know Glenn Johnson. The belt's titled Warrior vs. Warrior. Bobby Gunn, the Celtic Warrior, the first lineal bare-knuckle boxing champion in 123 years versus the Road Warrior. Glenn Johnson is a guy that never backed down from a fight. He always went to the opponent's hometown. Whatever it took to get the fight done or to get a title shot, he did it. He was robbed numerous times, more than a handful that I can remember, blatant robberies. And the only time he was knocked out was 16 years ago. He was stopped by a prime Bernard Hopkins.
Okay.
Like, you can't take anything away from this guy. Joe Calzaghe, the Hall of Famer, ducked Glenn Johnson for four times in a row. They signed a contract to fight, and Calzaghe found a way out. Until finally Johnson's like, forget it. I can't keep stalling my career because you won't fight me.
Yeah, Calzaghe there towards the end, I kind of thought, started to protect his record a little bit.
Well, he did it in the beginning.
Okay.
Until the Lacy fight.
Hey, two things real quick. I'm going to jump in. Texas Jeff and Mr. Hamlet is with us both live. I'm assuming everybody here watched the fights tonight, except for me and Tim. Hamlet, you watch UFC?
I watch part of it. I left and then came back and watched the main event.
Main event was fight of the year.
Now, see, look, I was just talking about this shit earlier. My nomination for fight of the year is actually Joe Ray and Iron Fist from Dare from, about 6-7 weeks ago. I think that, to me, was a more exciting fight, but I didn't see anything but basically the last round of the Hunt fight, so I can't really...
Let me rephrase. UFC fight of the year. A lot of people, you know, they're going to say Diego Sanchez, Gilbert Melendez was, people are saying, the fight of the century, best fight ever. Fuck all that noise. I like Hunt versus Silva much better. It was a closer fight. Anybody could have won. At the end of Melendez, Sanchez, you know who was getting their hand raised. So in comparison to those two being fighted here, I think in the UFC it goes to Hunt and Silva. I don't know how Silva carries around that head on his shoulders a whole fight.
Dude. Where the hell did he find his chin? Because he's been knocked out by guys who would normally not even, you know, not hit nearly as hard as Hunt does. Hunt crashed.
See, the problem was by the time Hunt was hitting him flush, Hunt was already gassed and the power was gone. I think Hunt was going for a rope-a-dope. And which he's pretty successful in if he can get it past the first round, but problem was he just gassed. He was hitting him with some elbows that I was sure was going to knock Silva out, but he just kept coming forward. Those guys were warriors tonight.
Okay, hey, since we got everybody here and obviously we got a couple hours, you know we're going to talk about all kinds of crazy shit. Dude, I'm curious just because I was talking with my buddy yesterday. How many of you guys have seen that post I put up from John Nutt on the Thai prison fight deal going on?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, that was sweet.
What do you, okay, now look, because we're all fans of different aspects of combat sport, and we all love MMA. We all know people who've gotten in trouble or gotten in trouble ourselves. What do you think about something like what I think it's Kilar, prison in Bangkok, is doing? Do you think that could work for inmates in America?
I can't. What did you say? It was kind of breaking up on my end. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, no, it sounds like somebody's watching TV or something. What do you guys as a whole, what do you guys think about trying to run something like that where prisoners have a chance to fight for clemency, glory, you know?
I wouldn't say clemency, but I'd be all about fighting for glory. Oh, yeah, real quick, just in case my phone dies or I get disconnected, the contest tonight is if you can call up and tell us what XFE fighter was nominated for Prospect of the Year on the GFL Awards, you get XFE 31 tomorrow for free. But other than that, yeah, Skippy, I agree with the not fighting for clemency. That would be like a death race scenario. But definitely for glory and have maybe a prison league, put it on pay-per-view so that way we can – you know, make some money back, so put taxes taken from the working man and put in the prisons.
I think...
Well, dude, can we bet on it?
Ooh,
yeah, we can bet on it. They can win money and donate it to whatever charity or family member they want.
I like it.
It will give them a chance to fight at moral retribution. They can donate to charities, they can donate to sick people.
I think all the fights there should be Filipino knife fights.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, I think they should do the Halloween Havoc back in the day where it's a cage fight and they put an electric chair in the middle of the ring.
I'm okay with that, too.
Fuck it.
Like when Abdul and a butcher got hit with the electric chair.
Yeah, dude. And you got to incapacitate your opponent and put him in the chair, and you get to flip the switch.
Not only do you take their soul, but you win money to give the charity.
Yeah.
But that has to just be pedophiles. A pedophile match, loser gets the chair. That way
and
you can rid your inflation. I don't mind
pedophiles
too much of murderers. There's retribution for that, I believe. I believe God will give you forgiveness if you're truly sorry. But if you're a baby raper, you deserve immediate execution by stoning.
What about
that? That should be
a
fight. That's it. That's the fight. All right, so there's 20 pedophiles in a cage. And it's just dirt. It's just an electric fence around in dirt. To win, every pedophile you kill, every other pedophile you kill, you take the rock. And then the last two fight until they stone the other one to death. So the more rocks you get, the better chance. Is this conversation really go there?
I think it did. I'm thinking that if what we should do is that we should pit the rapists versus the pedophiles.
Yeah. You know what? It went from promoting XFU31 to stoning pedophiles in an electric dirt-filled electric fence.
Holy shit, man. I thought I was drinking too much tonight.
I thought you were drinking.
Okay. I don't know how we got that far.
Skippy, what are you doing to us?
I was just trying to see what you guys thought. As somebody who might have spent
I'm trying to give out a free high pay-per-view on Go Fight Live, and now we're talking about stoning pedophiles and electric fence.
Hey, I honestly was just like, hey, here's what's going to happen, man. I was going to bring it up because I think
you might as well bring the dead hookers up now.
Hey, Friday night, let's get eight balls and kill us the hookers. Hey, I believe
that's a Wednesday for me.
Hey, somebody's got a computer on in the background. Beatdown, welcome to the show, brother.
What's up, man? Y'all watch the fight tonight?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we watched USFFC 15.
There's some slick fights there tonight, hunting.
Okay, that's not Jeff. Somebody's echoing because they got the computer on or something.
It's your fucking dog's mother.
See, fix that shit.
So I guess already lost conversation talking about fights. Let's back to the killing hookers and pedophiles.
Dude, we need any more dead air.
That echoing shit's got to get fixed. Lepaki,
I don't hear
just...
any echoing.
What, is somebody listening to the show as they talk?
Oh, never mind. Hey, guys, I'm fucking really high. I have been playing in another tab, and I just unpaused it.
Now, Skippy's that vain motherfucker that likes to listen to himself talk for 2 hours. Not to mention just talk, but he likes to listen to it.
I don't hear an echo.
Because I don't hear myself talking about killing hookers, not a Friday night. I'm Skippy killing.
Oh, okay. You guys know that dirt be wet. That fucked me up. I don't know how to answer that.
What?
Can dirt be wet? Wouldn't that be mud?
Yeah, no, that's mud.
Okay.
Let's just ask that question.
Tim, did you agree with the main event in USFFC?
No. Well, what, Rinaldi versus Rogers? What happened?
Split decision.
I didn't think Rogers won.
Was it a fight of the year candidate?
No.
Not really.
No. All right, put them in the electric steel cage match.
Right?
The non pedophile electric steel cage match. Those two guys going. Now, why can't we finish things like we used to in the 80s? You got an argument with somebody, you fix the problem with Texas Death Rope match.
Dude, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. Whatever happened to the Texas Strap match?
You weren't the winner until you touched all four corners.
Wahoo McDaniel, like, wraps the leather strap around your neck and drags you from pillar to post.
Okay, so tonight, obviously, the UFC bullshit went down. This morning, 1FC went off. Oplot, the white-collar tournament went off. I guess right
about
now.
Patrick Ibarra with a big win at Access TV tonight at Legacy.
What about Leonard Garcia knocking that motherfucker out and then going for the home run punch afterwards?
Leonard Garcia, he is a beast in Legacy.
Fuck yes, he is, and there's nothing wrong with that. Dude, you know how Hispanic fucking Houston is? He's going to be able to walk around, and they're going to, like, fucking fall at their feet like he's a soccer star. But either way, we got a badass double event this weekend of Pancrase, folks. 254 and 255 going down. Don't forget KSW's tomorrow morning, Cage Warrior 62, by the way. I hope that Ulysses Gomez is healing up fine. Sorry to hear that he dropped during weight cut and couldn't make the fight.
What's that promotion over in Ireland again? What is it, Cage?
Cage Warrior Fighting Championship.
What? It's like... CWCC, right?
CWFC.
Well, either way, it should be on GFL. They're tripping.
They just stream it for free, though, through Junkie.
Hey, you know what should be on
streaming for free?
That. You know the one event that needs to be on GFL that's not? That's Triad Fight League.
Dude, when I seen that fight poster and the write-up, I'm like, dude, that's fucking awesome. I'm like, the Madhouse guys will love this shit. 3 days, 300 fighters, 3 cages. I'm like, yo, that's fucking off the hook. I was like, let me hit these dudes up to see if this shit's legit. Since it's already on our schedule, I was expecting you guys to be like, oh shit, that shit's on your schedule? Super Shield's the dopest fucking thing ever. Let's pop bottles and beat up hookers.
2 days ago, I sent the boys a fucking private message that said, Did you guys see that fucking Super Shield on fucking GFL? What the fuck? And then
don't want to let me in on the conversation, so at least I can tell my boss, like, yo, I think they're using us to scam my... Is that what they're doing, putting it up there to try to scam sponsorship off of people?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good play by him, though. He's a smart little scam artist. He could turn around and be like, because we have so many events, you hit one person in our company, they might not know exactly what's going on, and just be like, all right, well, we'll post it so we can get pre-sales. Because the guy probably turned around to whoever he talked to and was like, hey, I got a bunch of people that want to order it already. Can you put it up there so we can start collecting sales? It's not till March, but we have to put it up. That's been up there since, like, November.
November
of 2011. Why is this shit 5 months away?
November 2011.
And then I'm sitting there like, where the fuck is this guy getting 300 fighters from?
Well, when he first came
out,
he
literally had like 40 teams around the country. Like,
hey, is he the guy from Warrior Island too?
No, he's the guy from
Warrior Island. Was Warrior Island legit?
No. Dude, what they already...
They had a fucking Kickstarter. Shit. Why don't we start a Kickstarter so we can get the money to promote a show?
He's a Fighter Idol guy.
We're all starting a Kickstarter, and we're coming up with a promotional company.
I'm gonna call it. Give me one more fucking dollar for a show you won't see. Promotion.
No, I'll put on a show. I'll find a state like Arkansas that can legalize a venue as a backyard.
Okay, hold on. Let's
and I'll have Tank Abbott fight a gauntlet match against 70 midgets.
Dude, I would pay to see that.
I'm sorry, little people.
I don't want the midget committee
boycotting the show.
Dude,
they might meet me someday.
I think they prefer the word dwarf.
Somebody's listening to the show.
There's a difference.
Just pissed somebody off probably, man. It's good you corrected yourself.
Yeah. What the fuck is that supposed to mean, asshole? Call me a dwarf?
Yeah.
One of these listening to themselves talk. Skippy, are you being cocky again?
Do you guys prefer elves in December? Like, do short people prefer to be called elves during the holidays so that they kind of feel a little bit more important?
I don't know. Let's get one on here for Friday.
I wonder, and this is no homo, by the way. I wonder what size is the biggest midget dick?
Well, I'll show you if we ever meet.
I mean, if there's a midget with a bigger dick than me, I'm going to be kind of upset.
I'm pretty sure there is.
What the fuck? Good night, guys.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Guys, everybody listening, remember, all you got to do is call in and tell me which XFE fighter is up for prospect of the year. We even mentioned them during the show. Hint, head kick. Devastating head kick. Hint, go to gfl.tv/polls.do and it will tell you which fighter it is. Just look it up and call in
right
and stop being a fucking midget vagina.
Dude.
Now, if say Andre the Giant were to have sex with a midget, could he actually fit it in there? Like, could you kill a midget? Could you fuck a midget to death?
Yes.
I hope my mom's not listening.
Mandingo could kill a midget.
Mom, if you're listening, this is Skippy Cohen's fault.
Hey, listen, Bridget the Midget was here in town maybe three years ago. That is one hot little fucking midget. I'm telling you right now, dude, I would fucking let that girl take a steamer on my chest. Okay, she's hot.
What is it with you getting shit on, dude? That's just nasty.
Oh, shit.
Prison's
it's
a bad midget.
It's smaller poop. It's not that bad. Jeez,
oh,
you act like the diarrhea
bad.
Fucking fast. It's a little bit of poop
bad.
On your chest. So what?
That's totally just reminded me. This conversation. David Feldman, who promotes XFA, is actually going to be promoting midget MMA on an Indian reservation in Arizona. I tell you, the dude promotes everything. He's the promoter of promoters. Boxing, MMA, semi-pro boxing and MMA, grappling, MMA, midget professional wrestling.
Hulk Hogan used to have that TV show where he promoted midget wrestling, I think, or something.
Micro wrestling.
Talking, man, yo, I want to, I say the MMA Madhouse crew fights the top 10 MMA midgets.
If you want to see something funny, you watch midgets run track.
If an MMA Madhouse wins, we get to fuck their midget girlfriends.
Okay, I could definitely take one of them with that kind of motivation.
Dude, we used to do banana pudding wrestling at the bar. That was pretty fun thing. They should start doing that.
You have to make female midgets sign a waiver just in case you do fuck them to death.
Can midgets drive, like cars?
Yeah, they sit on a phone book.
Little people, whatever. Can they, like, drive cars?
Oh, I think we're getting borderline midget or little people discrimination.
I love those little fuckers. I'm just asking.
We're gonna get call, we're gonna get phone calls from the Justice League of many people.
Okay, look,
we're
gonna
get sued again.
Hey.
Dude, I think in December we're supposed to call them elves.
Hey, look, let me clarify right now for everyone listening for the rest of the show. Little people will be called vertically challenged. Gay people will be called gender dyslexic.
Holy fuck.
I really have
Lepaki's like, hold on a second. That square doesn't fit in that hole.
That kind of sucks.
Oh, shit. Okay, hey, don't forget tomorrow night where we're going to break.
Did anybody else see the submission at USFFC tonight besides me?
Which one?
Eric Calderon won it. No, maybe the Marcus Blunt. No.
I saw all but two fights.
Oh, I got to think about it for a second.
Which event are you guys talking about?
USFFC MMA 15.
Okay, that was streamed. Because wasn't Legacy tonight too? Or was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have that recorded.
Oh, it's a good card. Watch for my boo. Billy Boo Jitsu, my boy Billy Boo. Fighting out
a good card.
Yeah, it's a good card. It was. I thought the fights were pretty fucking good.
Is MMA Madhouse beating Sherdog on the GFL Awards yet?
Dude, we were up for a while. I think they took back over.
I don't care who wins as long as MMA Madhouse defeats Sherdog. If they don't, we riot. Not that I'm biased or anything.
I'll tell you what, you know, I understand that they need to, you know, that they obviously need to be nominated, but straight the fuck up, they cover three leagues, and that's it, you know, let's be honest.
I know,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you have to nominate them. If I don't nominate them, I'll have Zufa Zombies fucking
blowing
trying
you
to
up.
Fuck me without taking me out to dinner. And I can't be having that. I'm supposed to be showed around. I'm pretty. And where's my MMA Madhouse T-shirt?
Yeah,
I will send,
I
will send a GFL T-shirt in exchange for an MMA Madhouse T-shirt.
I won't send shit, but I got promised one like 2 years ago.
I get promised one every time I bring it up. Skippy hasn't even asked for my address yet, so at least humor me.
Hey, I got one in the mail for you. I sent it to the home office. I put attention, Tim. So they should know, right?
Did you just write home office and no address?
Yeah, I just put Tim's work and put it in the mail. It should get there, right?
Someone will
they
get that
know.
Motherfucker.
They should be like, oh, wait, this is coming from Skippy Cohen. This should be the Tim Cudges.
Yeah, it needs to be
okay,
tipped with drugs
look,
if it's coming
I'll
from him.
I'll be fucking straight right now. I owe Lepaki two shirts. I pretty much owe...
No, fuck him. He doesn't need a shirt.
I owe Mitch
Yeah, he doesn't need a shirt.
On, bro.
And I owe him a shirt.
Everybody getting shirts.
So what I will do is I will try...
I need a shirt because I want to stop using condoms.
Dude, how come no...
The MMA Madhouse shirt will protect you.
Dude, that's fucking great.
Now, if I wear MMA Madhouse shirt, is it like tap out? Do I become a UFC fighter?
No, you become a Bellator fighter.
I'm going to train in UFC.
I trained to pride.
You can't because MMA Madhouse doesn't really affiliate with Zuffa, so you'd have to pick like.
You know what? I'd rather be an XFE fighter.
Yeah, you can be. You get to automatically train XFE.
You know, and they got it. They actually got a cool gear company that sponsors them. This company, Bone Breakers, with a Z at the end. Fuck that S bullshit. It's Bone Breakers.
With a Z?
With a Z at the end. No S, Z.
Fuck
you
the
know
S,
it's
man.
Fucking. You know
that means it's real shit then.
You get down or lay down.
Hey, Lapati, are you really... Didn't you make a status, Lapati? Like, you got a whole bunch of time off from work or something this year? At the end of the year or something?
He's not listening. So let me fucking answer that. Yes, he did. Second of all, I'd like to welcome another guest to this fucking crazy panel. Everybody, you guys all know the one and only Javier, the man behind the great company that is Revolver MMA. Fucking welcome to the fucking The Rogue Show.
What's up, Skip Me? Thanks, guys. What's up?
Hey, man.
We're talking about everything. MMA, midgets,
hookers.
Hookers, everything. So,
yeah, did anybody call in and win this contest yet? What are you fans doing? You listeners are disappointing us all thoroughly. Somebody fucking take that 3-point shot with less than 5 seconds left. You gotta be cut. Who is that in the background?
Somebody just choking a child. Is somebody choking a kid? Shaking a baby?
I don't have no kid.
I'm just, as you guys know, I'm sitting in my man's studio. What the fuck is that? Somebody fucking a girl? Oh my god, Lapati! If you're watching this fucking channel on the show, boy, I swear to god, I'm watching. Lapati's watching fucking porno while he's on the show. That is fucked up, Lapati.
I thought I was the only one.
Look, let's try to keep some sort of order around here. Okay, let's not go too crazy. We don't need to be watching porn and masturbating while there's 8 guys on the phone. That's a little fucked up.
Wait, is it midget porn at least?
I don't know. Let's ask them.
If you're going to masturbate the porn on the show, at least keep it to the topics related to the show. Thank you. Don't be rude.
Dude, it was a porn starring...
Skippy, you're losing control of your show again, man. Every time I come on here, some crazy shit's happening.
Is Chris Gregory on here?
No, we got Texas Jeff, Clinch Cut the Mouth Guard, Revolver MMA, MMA Beatdown, Super GFL.
No, Lapati?
Lapati's the one watching porn. I guess he don't want to talk.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Chris Gregory was money. This week he predicted that Ben Askren would sign the 1FC. Lapati's like, no chance in hell. And then what happens? Oh, my God, is Chris Gregory right?
No. He's never been
Skippy
right.
Skippy was trolling last night. He made everybody think that Chris got fired.
Maybe it's just Chris doing the ultimate troll on the MMA community, making up articles that Ben Askren has... You know, okay, Ben Askren, I understand you're having trouble finding fights. And you know what? 1FC probably paid you money, and good money. But don't make your 1FC debut fighting the always dangerous Phil Baroni. Come on, man. I love Phil to death. New York badass, great guy. But he's designated to fight prospects and guys with losing records at this point. Ben Askren has no shape or form to be in the ring with Phil Baroni. It proves nothing.
And then what if he loses?
He won't. Look, Phil Baroni, and I said this the other night on the show, on
Madhouse Live when we're actually somewhat
sane. I'm just
going
to tell you to tread lightly when you're talking about the New York Badass.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, it is. If this was six fucking years ago, I would give the money on the Badass all day. Okay, but this ain't 6 years ago. This is a guy who now has continually had knee problems. He's gotten older, and he's going to go against somebody who's much younger, much stronger, much faster, much more dominant, much more into a fucking wrestling mode, who's going to hold him down and beat his face in like he has done every motherfucker in front of him, including guys we all thought he couldn't do it to.
And here's the thing, too. It's not like he's just fighting Phil Brownie, and you know what? He's being quiet about it, and he knows it's a bullshit fight. No, he's talking shit to Phil Brownie leading up to the fight. It's like, dude, that's not even fair. You sit there and talk shit about Phil and try to mask to the general public that this is a good fight, that you should be talking shit. You know what, Ben? I felt bad for you. I thought what Bellator did was utter garbage. I thought you got screwed. I thought you got fucking, your career got held up because of a little beef between Dana Wright and Bjorn Remney. Because Remney dissed you, said you're one-dimensional, and released you. And Dana White knew he couldn't sign you after that. Because your own owner dissed you before he even released you. But you know what? Okay, you go to 1FC, they put you against Phil Baroni. Fine, you let that fly under the radar, you get a fight, and you make that money, boo-boo. But you don't fucking sit there and talk shit saying you're going to pound his face in. No shit, Captain Obvious. You are going to pound his face in. And you don't gain one fucking thing from it. You actually take a step farther away from the UFC and World Series of Fighting because that's garbage. And you talking shit is utter garbage. I'm losing respect for you by the minute. Shut up. Don't talk shit. Phil Baroni, regardless of his record, regardless of how good he is, he's still a fucking legend, and you're a nobody, a champion who is getting dissed by every other league that you have to go sign to 1FC. Fuck you, Ben Askren. Nobody feels bad for you anymore. Phil Baroni, please catch that motherfucker with a blind punch and knock his ass in tomorrow.
Hey, now, thank you. I'd like to ask the one and only, the man, the legend himself, MMA Inside the Cage host, Cyrus. How you doing tonight, brother? What do you think about Askren fighting over there?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did you just call me a legend? That's crazy talk. No, legend. I haven't paid my dues, bro. Come on,
hey.
Now.
Dude, you've been to Dracula's Castle.
I was announcing 7 girls today, bro.
Dude. Hey, those little kids brought the fucking fight, dude. I'm serious. That was a good scrap.
The movie
was pretty good, wasn't it?
I preferred the Muay Thai one.
What's that?
Which?
I preferred the
Muay
Thai fight.
Which you announced wrong. You said, look at these young guys going at some MMA combat, and it was the Muay Thai fight.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I was just saying that they were future MMA stars is what I said, that they were going to be the future of USFFC, which is what I was announcing at tonight. So, no, but it was fun, man. I had a good time tonight and went down to close to Charlotte, North Carolina, and had a crazy bunch of, rednecks right outside of Charlotte, and they had a hell of a good time. It was payday. Everybody's having a blast, man. It was all good.
Nice. Did you think Ronnie won that fight?
Oh, yeah, all day. No, I do. I mean, and I could see how it could go either way. Rinaldi was pushing the pace a little bit more. He was coming forward more. But if you watched closely, I mean, Rogers was landing all kinds of counter punches. I mean, and that was his game plan the entire time, was to sit back. You could tell that he was just there to do counter punches, and he was connecting a lot. And that's why I thought that he won the fight. I mean, so I thought it was the right decision. But, you know, if it would have went to Rinaldi, I wouldn't have complained too much because he was just coming forward a lot more. So,
aggression versus accuracy.
What's that?
The classic judging battle. Aggression versus accuracy. Was it effective aggression or was it non-effective aggression?
Yeah, it was effective. I think that, you know, every time that Rinaldi would push the pace and really try to unload, Rogers would catch him. You know, I mean, every time he tried to set up a good combo, Rogers was right there to catch him, you know. And he stayed real active, and even if he didn't connect a lot, it was kind of like the Leonard Garcia approach, you know what I mean? Whoever stays the busiest and whoever's throwing their hands as much. And I think Rogers was, you know, throwing 4 or 5 punches every time that he would unload. Even if they didn't connect, it looked really good. You know, so I think that kind of went into the eyes of the judges. So I think that's kind of how it went his way. But I'll tell you, that guy's real, he's real tough. He's on a streak right now. He just went over Kevin Ferrant, who's a pretty good fighter, XFC fighter, real tough in the area. And now getting the win over Rinaldi, who's been on a pretty big stage. So he's doing pretty good. He's done a good little role.
And just a reminder to these probably illiterate listeners, if you go on gfl.tv/polls.do, you can find out the answer to the trivia question to win a free view of XFE's 31. Who is the Prospect of the Year nominee that fought for XFE last year?
No, this year, but...
this, well, 2013, yeah. This year still.
So, guys, how about my man Noah the Hulk Pilele coming through with a big KO?
Oh!
Ooh!
Yeah, I saw the gift of that.
Beautiful, brother. I haven't seen it yet. I've just seen the results, but I heard it was pretty solid. I heard the ref probably should have stepped in maybe a little bit earlier, but
which fight are you talking about?
Man.
I think it was a good stoppage
over Pat Barry.
Oh man, Pat Barry. My friend actually called me for betting advice on that one. I was like, you know what, Pat Barry always puts up a good fight. They're always exciting. There's a chance he could catch the guy and win by knockout. There's a good chance to that. But most likely scenario, it's going to be an exciting fight, and he's going to get clipped and go good night.
Yeah, well, you know, Barry, you're right, exactly. He's an exciting – I love Pat Barry, man. How can you not like that guy?
I would love to see him in Bellator and see how he holds up there. Only because he's not going to be able to accomplish anything on a higher level in the UFC, let's be honest. I love the guy.
Oh, you're right.
I love seeing him fight. But maybe with a lower level of competition, he could be a champion or make a run at it of some sorts.
No, it wouldn't be bad. If he went to World Series, that'd be kind of fun, too. I'd like to see him and Rumble Johnson or something have a fight.
Oh, that would be awesome. You know what? I would like to see Pat Barry versus Tim Sylvia or Andre Arlovski.
Yeah.
Oh, give me Arlovski. Chin versus chin, power versus power.
No doubt, or maybe get a rematch of the Krokop fight. Even though they're buddy-buddy now, it wouldn't be bad to see that again.
I would actually, if he went to Bellator, we could get a rematch of the Czech Congo fight.
Good point.
I thought he was actually going to get that W, Barry, for once, and somehow it just slipped through his fingers. His chin is the downfall of his skill. Like, let's take an example for a boxer. The exact same thing. Well, maybe this boxer's still on a higher level than Pat is in MMA, but Amir Khan could be an all-time great fighter, skill set and talent-wise, but his chin is just so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Dude, I think he's barking up the wrong tree right now.
Who?
Old Amir Khan. Amir Khan.
Well, he's going to be, from what I'm hearing, my boxing sources, he's going to be fighting him, Floyd Mayweather Jr. on May 3rd.
Yeah, that's the same thing I'm hearing. That's
hopefully, for everybody's sake, the fight at least happens in the UK so there can be some kind of mystery. Maybe Mayweather gets routed to go to the decision. But even Mayweather is not known for his knockout power. I think it's a knockout over time because he can punch, he has accuracy, and he likes to knock out them Brits.
Well, he floored, who was the Hispanic kid he just fought, three fights ago?
Julio Diaz. Oh, 3 fights ago? Carlos Molina? Or that was 2 fights ago? He lost to Danny Garcia 3 fights ago when he was knocked out.
Floyd just knocked him out. The guy that kissed him.
Oh, Victor Ortiz.
Yeah, Victor Ortiz. God dang it, man. I was like, God, what the fuck is this guy's name?
Protect yourself at all times. Victor, protect yourself at all times, Ortiz.
Yeah.
Victor way too many fucking hugs Ortiz. Jesus. You don't
Victor
have to fucking hug him 8 times. Let's go.
Had the worst intentional headbutt attempt I ever seen Ortiz. Like, he literally tried to blatantly, intentionally headbutt him. It was just so blatant. It was brutal. It would be like if I straight ran up and kicked you dead in the nuts and been like, my bad, dude. That was an accident. I was aiming for your liver.
Can we just get the Pacquiao fight and fucking be done with it? I mean, I'm just, honestly, can we just get the fucking Pacquiao fight and be done with it? I mean, this is ridiculous.
It's not happening. It's never going to happen until...
madness.
The only chance it happens is if Pacquiao, when his contract ends at the end of 2014, signs the Golden Boy or becomes a free agent. Other than that, there's too many intangibles. Like, for example, Top Rank and Golden Boy rarely ever co-promote fights. The only one in recent times that I remember was Landy Lara versus Vanes Matarozin. And it was a part of an undercard, and the reason Top Rank got it was because they won the purse bid. Other than that, those type of situations, the fights would never happen. Now, the bigger problem is the sheer fact that one of them's an HBO fighter, one of them's a Showtime fighter. Those two networks haven't co-promoted a pay-per-view since Lewis Tyson. Now, will they? I think you got an actual easier chance of them co-promoting the pay-per-view than Golden Boy and Top Rank working together to put on the fight of the century.
God, I just love boxing. Man, boxing is so fucking cool. Let me tell you, I can't stand boxing anymore. It's so crazy.
Holy shit. And what's with Dana White producing a boxing reality show? Oh, Pacquiao had an outstanding performance. He looked like the old Pacquiao. Now, don't get me wrong. Okay, one, I love Brandon Rios, one of my favorite active fighters. It's one of those cases of styles make fights, and Pacquiao style's too much for Brandon Rios. But Brandon Rios, Pacquiao just overwhelmed him, and he looked like the old Pacquiao. Now, would
Pacquiao had great lateral movement in that fight, and was able to just land combos from angles.
Would Pacquiao be able to beat Floyd Mayweather at this point? Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's just kind of the one that everybody wants to see. I mean, and the payout would just have to be out of fucking control. I mean, especially if they would do something like Cowboy Stadium, et cetera. Good Lord. I mean.
Well, Manny Pacquiao, because of tax issues, doesn't want to fight in the U.S. anymore. Now, granted, his next fight will be in the U.S. April 12th. Most likely against Timothy Bradley, or the fight that everybody wants to see other than Mayweather is Pacquiao versus Ruslan Provokhanov. Once again, there's a problem with that fight being made. They're both trained by Freddie Roach, and Provokhanov said he doesn't want to fight Pacquiao. Now, granted, if Bob Arum throws a $10 million payday in his face, you're probably going to see Provokhanov get a new trainer.
You don't think Freddie would stay with Provodnikov over Pacquiao with
absolutely not.
In their careers?
No,
really?
Pacquiao, Freddie is loyal. Freddie is a loyal guy. It could have been Pacquiao's last fight, and Freddie Roach would stay with Pacquiao. No questions asked. Freddie Roach won't even let a person in his team train Provokhanov, like instead of him, because there was one trainer that Provokhanov did work with when Freddie was busy, but he won't even let him train Provokhanov for Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is Freddie Roach's heart and soul, and I have a feeling when Manny Pacquiao retires, it could be towards the end of Freddie Roach's career too. But granted, I think boxing's the only thing that's keeping Parkinson's from taking over in Freddie Roach's life.
Oh, I agree. I don't know that he can leave the game. He's going to have somebody to take and keep him busy.
Right, but it's not going to be Provokhanov either. There's going to be a young kid on the come up that goes to Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach will have another phenom when it's time.
Guys, I'm learning more about boxing than I knew in the last 5 years, just from the last 5 minutes.
I can teach you everything
about... What do you think about Stevenson's Koreshkov?
What was
pressure.
That?
What do you think about Stevens and Crusher? That's, I think, the fight they got to make.
I don't think the fight's going to happen right away. I think Adonis is going to try to avoid it. I think Adonis is going to look at Carl Froch. Froch after the Groves fight where she escaped by the... What's that saying? I forget the saying, but he basically barely escaped if it wasn't for a shitty referee stoppage. So I think Froch is going to move up to 175, and Adonis Stevens is going to be his choice, and it's going to be an all-out brawl. But I think the younger Stevenson's going to get that. Kovalev, on the other hand, he's going to have trouble finding a fight, and he's just, at this point, he's going to find somebody he's going to run through. Because the sheer fact, and I don't blame Bernard Hopkins, he's done too much in this game to be pressured in a fight in a fighter like Kovalev. I mean, if somebody would beat Kovalev, it would be Bernard Hopkins because he has a way of turning the big puncher's biggest strength into a weakness. But I think Hopkins at this point is going to take the easy route to defend his title once when he turns 50, not this January, but next January. I'm expecting a unification with the newly signed Golden Boy WBA light heavyweight champion Beboot Shumanoff. So you could talk to me about boxing all day. I got into combat sports because of boxing, so I can run with
it. Boxing is still the best, man.
What do you think about that? The guy that's been fighting up at, who is it? The Posse Rashad Ravine? Is that it?
In Washington?
Yahir
Rahim. He's a Philadelphia native. I actually did a little PR work with him before. He was one of those guys that probably could have been great. After Eric Morales defeated Manny Pacquiao, Yahir Rahim beat him easily over 12 rounds. Yahir Rahim's problem, and I'm glad he's got a solid promoter, because his problem has always been mismanagement, lack of fights. He doesn't have that exciting style, but he can box with the best of them. And that's why a lot of fighters want to stay away from him. At one point, he went so long without a fight, he took a title eliminator on short notice and was stopped by South Africa's Ali Funeka. And now this was a fight where everybody expected Rahim to win, but he just wasn't active enough. He wasn't putting the right time into it. I think he underestimated the guy. And it paid dividends against him. And after that, it was just like, where's Zahir? He fought a couple times in Oklahoma against less than quality opponents. But, you know, Brian Houseless did him right. He got him a decent named opponent. Now, Tim Coleman, is he a world beater? No, but he's had some decent wins, and he's a quality fighter. So it was a good opponent for Zahir's comeback to kind of gauge where he's at. At that point, Zahir even went to 154. Now, you got to remember, in his prime, he was a 135 fighter. So he gave up weight because Coleman came in overweight. And not the first time Coleman said it, probably not the last. But Zahir ended up starching him. So maybe that maybe his lack of power carried over when he moved up in weight, and he gained some, and he was able to pack a punch this time. So, you know, I'm excited to see Zahir. He's one of those guys, he might be older, but he's been away from the ring enough, and his style didn't really allow him to get hit clean too many times. So he's still a young, older fighter. He's young in boxing years.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. I got a fight, and I want to get you guys' take on it. Tomorrow night, Invicta, Tisha Torres, and Felice Herrig. Who do you think wins that fight?
Tisha's going to beat the shit out of Felice for 3 rounds.
Really?
Amen.
I don't know who either of them are, but I'm going to go with Tisha. Because my man said so.
I know who Herrig is.
It's
going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I think Felice is game, though, man. I mean, talking about somebody that's been in the game and always puts up a good fight. I love Tisha Torres. I announced one of her first fights, actually, for the same promotion I work for tonight. And she's fucking out of control good, man. She was awesome in that last fight against Rose. I'm looking forward to that one. And I just kind of want to see how we're
going. I got a question for you MMA guys in the WMMA category. All right, so Juliana Pena, who won the Tough, she actually lost this year to DFL Woman Fighter of the Year nominee Deanna Bennett from Showdown Fights. How did Juliana Pena get through to the Tough House, but Deanna Bennett didn't? Did Deanna Bennett even get a tryout fight?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, it's just a process, and a lot of times they pick on character. I mean, a lot of the times, you know, the win-losses obviously help. I mean, have a nice record, but, you know, say this Bennett, you said Bennett, if her personality didn't really jive with him and they didn't think that she'd be good to have on the show, it's
true, but then you end up with the final.
Juliana also trained.
A 4-2 Juliana Pena versus a 1-3 Jessica. I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she was a former boxer, boxing champion, and she was 1-3 in pro MMA. How does that translate into a spot in the Tough House with when you got a girl like Deanna Bennett, who I believe is undefeated, and beat Pena? It's just confusing to me.
Well,
I get
Julie,
it.
Julie, you know, she's really talented. I mean, but she also does train with four people that have been in the Tough House. Cody McKenzie, Sam Cecilia, Mike Cage.
Well, yeah, Bennett trained at the Pit. Doesn't the Pit produce some UFC fighters in Utah?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, no, they have.
I guarantee it. I don't know what Bennett looks like, but it could play a part. The looks is a variable. Personality is a variable. And, you know, Pena's outspoken and stuff like that, so that probably bettered her odds, the Venezuelan vixen.
Yeah, but that actually wasn't something that she really developed until after the show. Like, until after she was in the house, because before she was in the house, she was really kind of quiet and subdued.
I don't know, because I remember when she fought on Showdown, she was talking hella shit in the pre-fight. Like, you know, this girl Bennett isn't even on my level, blah, 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 I'm this, I'm that. And it was funny, I didn't even watch the fight until I was picking out nominees for Fight of the Year, or Woman Fighter of the Year, and I'm like, oh, Juliana Pena, she's on Tough. Let's watch this. Maybe she could be a nominee. And she lost.
Hey, I don't want to, rewind too far, I've been totally down. Things haven't been working really well. I just got everything back up and running. I want
fans
to give a
haven't been calling in with the answer to the trivia question.
I got somebody in the queue, and somebody, I got some caller on the line. I got to check in a second, but I want to give a shout-out to Anthony. I know he was on the show earlier. I think he might be back. Maybe that's him. But thank you for that picture.
Yeah, I've been trying to fucking... Yes, you there?
Yeah, thank you for that picture of Bridget the Midget, buddy.
Yeah, they were...
Hey, Anthony, did you get the trivia answer?
What? Yeah, no, I don't give a fuck about trivia, but I was trying to answer your question about Pena. I was fucking muted, man. You guys are talking about boxing, too, and I've been on Triple G's nuts, man. That motherfucker's a bad dude, and a lot of Americans are just now figuring out who he is.
You know what's funny? I followed Triple G when he turned pro, because he beat one of my favorite fighters, Andre Durrell, to win in the Olympics.
Yeah. He was 345-5 as an amateur, and that was and that was losing as silver at the Olympics. That's how good that dude is. And he's 20. I think he's 28-0 now with 26 knockouts, or 29-0 with 26 knockouts. He's unreal.
I remember one of my first interviews in boxing 5 years ago was with Andre Durrell, and I was like, hey, you know, the guy that beat you, Gennady Golovkin, turned pro not too long ago. Is he going to be on your radar to get some Olympic revenge? And Jarrell's like,
right.
This is 5 years ago. He's like, I didn't even know that guy turned pro. I don't even know if he's going to be a good pro. Now, five years later, Jarrell's nowhere to be found, signed to 50 Cent, and Triple G is the fighter of the year, like a nominee for fighter of the year. And he's excited. HBO loves him. The fans love him. Yeah. It doesn't matter that he doesn't speak great English. He's a star. Rappers are rapping about him in their songs. Like, the guy is a star. Imagine he got fluent in English. The guy would be a superstar level. It's not too long to where he's going to be selling pay-per-views. I mean, everybody already is clamoring for Triple G versus Andre Ward. It's
right.
a Styles matchup.
Happy birthday, fucking Yearn. I totally, hey, sorry, I'm going to cut you all off, man. Happy birthday to Yearn, Madhouse, President of Norway. Big shout out, bro. Okay, sorry, go back.
To answer your question, to answer your question about Pena, because I was there in Vegas, she didn't come try out. Obviously, the girl that beat Pena, because just about every single girl that tried out got to fight just about to get into the house. They all made it past the interview portion of it, and then they had to do the background checks and all that shit to fight to get into the house.
Wait, did you say Bennett didn't even try to get into the house?
I don't know if she did, Ben, but if she did. Every single girl, because I was there, made it past the interview. They all got past that portion. So then it went into background checks and all that other shit. And then they
what
selected
happened
from
to,
there.
What happened to Holly Holm? From what I heard, she was trying out, and she didn't make the house.
Not,
and if Jessica Rosowski or whatever her name is, a minor women's champion, made the house, and Holly Holm, who was undefeated in every league she fought in her entire career, and she's like, well, she's winning fights legit. She's showing that she is a true crossover star.
I just read about Holly's been offered a contract. They turned down the contract recently. I don't think she wanted to go into the house, which is smart. If you can get into the UFC without
a
contract, that's the best.
She's a superstar regardless. And, like, she's proved already that she's not just a boxing champion trying MMA. She's really trying to learn the craft. And she's building herself up the right way. And I think she could be a strong fighter down the road. A couple more fights, she could be in the top ranking.
If you can get into the UFC without going into the Ultimate Fighter, that is the best way. Because you get locked into those contracts that are 3 years long, and they're not, you know, they're really not that great of a contract, really. I mean,
let me just jump in real quick, Amlet. Hey, to that caller who just called in and gave me that answer, can you call back as a... somehow we got disconnected. Okay, sorry, Emma. Go back.
But hey, Skippy, though, we've been talking about contracts. Do you guys not believe that there's things are being paid outside of the contracts? Like, is it, we're talking about the Diaz, Nate Diaz,
well,
you
dude,
know,
15
and 15.
We all know that things are paid outside
yeah,
of the contracts.
Yeah, there's
contract.
No way
okay.
he's making
okay,
15
okay.
and just 15 and all 15. Right. He's not going to go okay. from when he fought in the finales and Coffee made the same amount of guaranteed money all those years ago, and now the fight Gray Maynard, a top 10 guy, there's no way he's just making 15 and 15. And especially because
wow.
his manager just nonchalantly replied to an email. I forget to who it was. It was to one of the major sites, like Bloody Elbow or somebody like that, where Mike Hogan replied to an email just saying, oh, man, it's just I suck as a manager, LOL. The nonchalant answer he gave just points at there's other money.
Right.
Nate Diaz deserves more than that.
Well, he got 50 when he fought here in Washington, so he's not going to go down.
Yeah, there's maybe he got some sort of revenue on ads or something like that, or tickets.
Yeah.
He got something.
No, you don't get none of that. You don't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, for example, Eddie Alvarez, in his UFC contract, he was going to get pay-per-view points.
Correct.
Which means getting paid on the pay-per-views. There could have been something worked out where Diaz got paid on something else other than just his fight salary. Now you know he's making decent money on sponsorships on top of that, being on free TV. But, I mean, bottom line is he's getting paid somewhere else. It's like in amateur fighters. Amateur fighters aren't supposed to get paid, but you know what? A lot of them do.
It's true. But, you know, look, and this is totally my opinion. I don't give a fuck who, what, when, or where. But if a fighter leaves a fight, win or lose, and mentions one thing about money, he needs to shove it up his ass because he signed the fucking contract to fight. If he didn't want to fight for that money, then he shouldn't have signed the fucking contract, period. That's my opinion.
Well, what do you guys think about amateurs getting paid? I personally think every amateur should get a set amount of about $200, $250 so they can pay for travel, they can pay for their gear, stuff like that, just minor expenses. I don't think they should get paid a salary or fight but win bonuses because, once again, they are amateurs. But I feel if a promoter's making money off of them, they should be able to make at least a little something to cover expenses.
Well, so most amateurs do get travel.
Yeah, but what do you think about, like, a set fee for all amateurs? Just say $250, no matter what, just a set fee where you're fighting, so everybody knows they're getting something. Not some amateurs are getting paid for travel. Not, oh, well, he doesn't have to travel, so he doesn't get paid. He's still accruing
other expenses.
You
might see guys, like, just start to fight in their own town, you know? Like, if you can be an amateur and fight for $250 in your town and not really have any travel expenses...
Well,
if
you're
then why
would you should get paid a commission on tickets. And if you're an out-of-town guy, you're not going to get paid on tickets because obviously you're not going to sell tickets. But if you're an out-of-town guy being brought in, pay them like $250. If you're a hometown guy, pay them in a percentage of tickets you sell. Like around the year, I know some promoters pay money per ticket sale, and that's good. That's a way to get the fighters some money, and it sells tickets. The promoter's getting paid, the fighter's getting something. I just think it's good. And it's the same thing with boxing. I think a lot of fighters, and especially in MMA because there's no Olympics, no big sponsorships in amateur MMA, a lot of fighters are going to rush to get out of the amateurs and get to the pros, and maybe too soon just so they can make some money. I think if there's some sort of maybe amateur league like boxing's doing, they're doing the I forget what it is.
I'll tell you what right now.
But they pay
my
fighter a set salary. They have teams.
I keep my amateurs. They've got to fight 10 fights before they get to go pro. I'll tell you that right now. Almost every single case.
I think in PA, like, you have to fight 5. You have no choice but to fight 5 before you turn pro.
I want these guys to be comfortable when they go pro out there. I mean... I was learning on the job.
300 or so fights. Like, there's boxers that fought, and they're the best boxers, the guys that have the 200 amateur fights. Like, let's take, for example, Vasily Lomachenko. He's a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. He will be fighting for the WBO world title in his division on his second pro fight. In his pro debut, he won an eliminator by stopping a 25-3 top contender. And he stopped him. He beat the dog shit out of him. And now he's fighting for the world title at 1-0.
He's also
a very rare, like, I mean, he is such a special talent.
Jim, while we got a quick break, I want to continue talking about this shit, but Jim, GFL TV, we have a caller who I'm going to bring on now. Nathan, are you with us?
Okay, let me ask the question. Sure. Okay, you're there? All right. What XFT fighter was nominated for GFL's 2013 Prospect of the Year?
Anthony Terrell.
Boom, you got it. All right, so what you got to do is go onto the link of the show and find where I comment, or get to Skippy, and you got to do it soon now, because we got to get it done. Get to Skippy or get to me. I'm Tim Kudgis on Facebook, TimKudGis on Facebook. What I need you to do is create a free GFL account, and I will credit the XFE cards, and since you were the first caller, and it took a while to get a caller to call in, I'm also going to give you a special prize. I'm going to give you a free 1-month subscription to GFL On Demand. So you'll be able to watch all the old fights. After that, I mean, it's $9.99 a month if you want to keep it. It's a great deal. It's something we don't push enough, I feel. But it gives you, like, after a card's been on GFL for a couple months, it goes to GFL On Demand, and it gives you the access to watch all those fight cards from beginning to end. And you get it for a month, so watch away, my friend. Create that account and give me that email address as soon as possible.
All right,
Tim,
man,
don't forget, if you buy it, Nathan, any pay-per-view you buy on there, whether it's boxing, Muay Thai, MMA, once you buy it, you own it for life.
Yeah, so you'll be able to watch this XFE 31 not only tomorrow live, but you'll be able to watch it as long as GFL exists.
All right, man. I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you.
Hey, I'm going to put you in queue and talk to you, get your information.
What do you need information? Where is this? Go ahead, Skippy. Get out of here.
Hey, you know how you were talking about a bunch of amateur fights?
Trying to get a social security number, bank account.
Yep.
Yeah, I need your address, your bank account number, your social security card, your date of birth, and I need you to send me a copy of your driver's license.
Skippy. Hey, Skippy. Skippy.
I think Skippy
Skippy's
went into
in
the queue to talk to the guy to get his information.
Hey, you'll appreciate this since you're a boxing guy. When I was in the Air Force, I was a wrestler. I was taking a break from wrestling, so I went over, was going to box, try to box. Never been in a boxing gym in my life. And because I was trying to help a guy from my base get ready, so he talks me into going with him to camp. My very first fight, there's no open division in the military. I mean, there's only open division. There's no novice. I fight a guy that had 127 fights, and I'd never been in a boxing ring in my life. Dude, he beat the living shit out of me for three fucking rounds.
You know what? I actually I watched a former four-time U.S. military champion, U.S. Army champion, box Wednesday night at Lou DiBella's Broadway Boxing. His name's Captain Boyd Nelson. Now, this guy's a true class act. Not only did he come up in the military fighting, but he doesn't keep a dime from his fight purses. He donates every fight purse, every dollar of it, to a charity called JustADollarPlease.org. It's to help with spinal cord injuries and stem cell research. But I've never met a fighter in my life, and I've interviewed thousands of fighters in the past 5 years, and this guy has never kept a dollar from his pro boxing fights.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I got my ass whooped, dude, for three fucking rounds, and everybody who lost that night got sent home. I was the only one that didn't get sent home because I fought. I just stayed in there and fought. And so I got to stay and learn, and so then I got to stay there, and you know, then I got to fight some novice fights and move my way up through. But, dude,
well,
I'll tell you what, I got my ass whooped.
Well, that's how Mike Tyson started boxing. Did you ever hear that story? And when he first came into the gym, the trainer that he was eventually going to use, Customato, threw him right into the sparring ring because he was a punk kid. And at a very young age, he sparred an established pro. Now, the guy you could tell Tyson had the power back then, but the guy was just a much more qualified fighter than Tyson. Tyson coming in off the street. But Tyson kept getting up and kept coming forward and earned the respect of his trainer, Cus D'Amato. And God forbid, if Cus never died, Mike Tyson may have retired undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champion. He was the guy that kept Mike sane. He was the guy that kept Mike on the straight and narrow. And
I've watched all that shit. Do you watch that new interview he just did recently? They were talking about what's that dude that, with the scar on his face to put a gun to his head. Freddie Atlas. He was talking about how big of a pussy he is. Like, he's actually trying to act tough, but he's a fighter. He ain't no fucking fighter. He said he put a gun to a kid's head when he was 15 years old. And you know what? It tells you he didn't have the balls to pull that trigger. Mike Tyson just did an interview recently. I just watched it.
Well, Mike Tyson, basically, he was insane. He had personality disorders. And here is the thing. The guy Customato, his old trainer, kept him under control. He respected Cus. He looked at Cus like a father. And when Cus died, at that point it was just Don King guiding him. So Tyson being with Don King is like insanity times 100. This fighter, Bobby Gunn, who's going to be fighting Glenn Johnson on GFL.TV December 18th, he was telling a story on Facebook. He's like, the first time I met Tyson, the matchmaker for Don King, he was fighting on his undercard, and they gave him a pass to go up to Mike's hotel room and hang out with him and his crew. Bobby said he opened the door, and it was just people doing drugs, smoking drugs, and all of a sudden a girl came running out of a room with blood all over her chest, and apparently Mike Tyson bit her on the chest, and like by the time everything calmed down, Bobby walked into the hotel room, and Tyson was just sitting there completely calm playing with Legos. Tell me that's not pure insanity.
Dude, didn't Teddy and Mike just have, like, their first, like, real conversation in, like, 25 years here just, like, a month ago?
Yeah, Mike Tyson made amends to him. Apparently, Tyson is sober, not sober, whatever. He's doing his step work, and he's making amends to people in the past. I remember in one story, he kicked, like, Don King in the face. Like, he's doing his whole new Undisputed Truth thing. And he's telling the truth about stories on the road and stuff. But he's really disgracing. Now he's like this cute, lovable Tyson. But like the things he did in the past that he's telling the truth on now is just disgracing the sport. Like how he passed drug test after drug test using the Wizard and pissing fake pee. Now granted, he wasn't using performance-enhancing drugs. He was using cocaine and weed, which definitely don't help you fight whatsoever.
Well,
not that I have experience
you know,
with either. No, cocaine's only a quick high.
Yeah, but the one thing, you know, I got to say is through it all, like, I mean, I'd rather him walk out and say, look, I was the best in the fucking world for a time. I made a bunch of fucking mistakes. Here they all are. Now the rest of y'all can fuck off and quit judging me. I've made amends.
His problem, the problem that I have with him and what he's doing is, now he's trying to sell books over the story he's told. He's not trying to apologize for it. It's all just a money-making. It's like when OJ gets out of jail and becomes a preacher.
Hey,
dude.
Hey, Skip.
Hey, if yeah.
Hey, Skip, you listen. Hey, I had a, I was talking to a promoter here in Washington because they were talking about doing a show with the Tacoma Dome, and I was talking about, because you can bring in Mike to be a guest at shows. I was like, think how big that would be if they brought in, you know, they bring in all kinds of UFC stars. Dude, everybody loves Mike Tyson. Everybody loves Mike Tyson.
Well, what you
know?
Do is you get them to do a performance of the Undisputed Truth before the fight, and you'll sell that place out tenfold.
Oh, yeah, he isn't.
Mike Tyson is a draw. While he was boxing, when he's not boxing, he's a superstar regardless of what his personality disorder is pointing him in what direction. And that's the bottom line. I'm like, I don't have that big of a problem with him telling his stories and making it into a joke.
Hell
now,
no.
It's just weird because it does look bad on boxing. Yeah, but he's profiting off his skeletons. I don't profit off of my skeleton.
Well, you know what? If I could profit off my skeleton, I would too.
Yeah, you know what? If I was in if the shoe fit me, I would probably wear it, to be honest with you.
Dude,
but
he didn't rape that bitch. I don't give a fuck what anybody
says.
He didn't rape
that
bitch.
I completely agree with that. I
so
don't
what
think
the fuck,
he did
what did
either.
He do that's so bad that anybody can hate the motherfucker? So he did drugs. That's his problem.
No, not
that's,
that,
it's
not
poison
that
himself.
Nobody hates him from his stories. It's just the problem is it makes boxing look bad. It's like how many people else were faking drugs?
You know what makes boxing look bad is that, well, he's in prison. His fucking mentor, manager, and friend stole all his fucking money. That makes boxing look bad.
I wish he never went to Don King. I wonder what Tyson would be if he never went to Don King.
Yeah, but Bob Arum would have fucked him over probably just as well as Don King did.
No, Don King's the ultimate scumbag.
I think
the
worst thing that happened was the fallout with Teddy.
Say Don King has a champion, right? So they'll get to an eliminator where it will go to purse bid. He'll win the purse bid for an exuberantly low amount. And then he'll tell the challenger, listen, I'll pay you more. Here's $20,000 extra in cash. Just sign this contract saying if you win, you're signed to me. And he ends up getting him in a slave deal. And then the guy has to fight for low money until he gets out of the Don King contract. It just happened to Cornelius Bundridge. That poor son of a bitch made like 3 defenses of the junior middleweight title and didn't even make $100,000.
Well,
Bernard Hopkins
beat his last champion, remember?
Yeah.
That was it. The last champion that Don King had, Bernard Hopkins beat him. And he talked shit to him about it.
Actually, one of his guys ended up winning the cruiserweight title, but then got taken away because he failed a drug test after the fight.
Go figure.
All right, guys, I got to get going. It's about 2:40 in the morning over here. Skippy, can you message me with the winner's information so I can get him going?
Yeah, I told him.
Send it to me. Hey, what part of the East Coast are you on? Before you go, what part of the East Coast are you on?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you're up in the PA. Okay, gotcha.
Yep. All right, guys. Skippy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, guys, and I'll talk to you next week. Well, Skippy, I'll talk to you 10 times before next week.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody tunes in that. Do me a favor. It's $14.99. Order it once. You're able to watch it again for the rest of your life. Take my word for it. It's going to be a great event. XFC 31 live around the world, only on GFL.TV. Thank you, guys. I love you all. Peace.
All right, man.
Once again, thanks to Tim. So many people are talking about this hunt fight still. It's funny because it's down the middle. Some say it's a great fight. Some are saying it was the best fight ever, you know. I really got to watch this shit. But I do want to tell all the fans that listen to the Rogue Show regularly, we're going to work on getting the one and only John Nutt on here to talk about the Thai Prison Fight League. And also we're going to talk to him a little bit about Operation Smile, fighting to give kids beautiful smiles. So I just got finished talking to him. Big shout out. I got such mad love and respect for that cat. That dude's legit. You guys follow him, find him, watch him. Okay, so tomorrow in Vitka, I know we really haven't got to talk too much about it. Obviously, Judy.
Hey, get that triad guy, too.
Oh, yeah, fuck him. Julie Kinsey retired tonight, which is kind of a bummer, but, it is what it is. It happens in the sport all the time. But tomorrow, there's a bunch of good fights. Texas Jeff, you got any picks on that card tomorrow for Invitka?
Man, I'm not sure. I looked at the card, but I haven't looked up too much. I haven't looked at any lines or anything like that, really. But you got to always love Invicta, though. Didn't a couple people miss weight today, too?
They always do. Every single show they have. Girls have a hard time making weight, man. Girls have a hard time making weight. It's hard on them.
Yeah.
Fucking hard.
Is that like genetics? Or they're just not used to cutting weight?
Dude, it's hard. I've taken weight. My female pro just fell out 2 weeks ago. We ended up taking her to the hospital. She's cut weight like a champ. No problems, man. And it's... Their bodies are different, man. They have to be closer. They can't do the last big cut like we do.
Huh.
Didn't know
she
that.
All right,
sorry. Go ahead, Texas Jeff.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just asked if she was all right.
Yeah. She's a man. Me being the competitor I am, I'm like trying to get IVs in her so we could fight the next day. And they're like, "What about her?" Yeah, I had to get into it with her. Her mother-in-law put down the foot and said she's not fighting. And I'm like, "All right, forget it." So, because I was trying to get the juices back in her so we could fight tomorrow. That's all I'm worried about.
Yeah.
But, you know,
look,
let's be honest. It happens with guys. We've been seeing it more and more lately. We've even seen some deaths. We just saw today, Ulysses Gomez, somebody who's consistently been able to make 125, 135 his whole career, fell out. He had he ended up having to drop out of the main event. So he dropped during weight cut, and the doctor said no.
In the mid-90s, when all those wrestlers died, is when creatine came on the market. And what happened was everybody was taking creatine because it was legal and it was good for you. What creatine tells you to drink water with it, lots. Now, when you don't, because what it does, creatine takes the water out of your muscles. So now when you do your weight cut, your body goes to take that water out of your muscles. It's not there, so it takes it out of your organs. And that's why a lot of those wrestlers died, and then they put all those restrictions on us wrestlers.
Would you say creatine's not good for you?
Well, no, it's great for you. It's not great for you during weight cutting.
What about whey? I like whey.
It's just protein. Yeah, it's just regular protein, man. So, I want to know who's going to win that 25-pound female fight tomorrow. That's going to be that one girl's coming down from 35, the challenger, she's a tough broad. What the hell's her name?
You talking about the Laura Murphy?
Leslie Smith.
Yeah, that girl's mean, dude. That's the girl you go to a country bar, she's beating broads up in a bar, dude. That's her.
Well, Lepaki, did you just say the other day, I believe you said all three titles will change hands?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. One's an unclaimed title, and I think Miriam Nakamoto will win that one. And then I think that Claudia Gadella will beat Carla Esparza, and Leslie Smith will upset Barb Honchak.
Can Leslie stop a takedown, though? I've never seen her fight that much.
I think that if the fight goes to the ground, that she'll be just fine.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a feeling that Barb might try to strike more.
Well, that's not smart for business. Not when you're a better wrestler. You know? But egos obviously always get in the way out there in fights sometimes.
Does fucking Showdog not cover Invicta or what? All I can find Does Showdog not cover Invicta? All I can find is World Series, UFC, Bellator.
I stopped going to Showdog a long time ago.
Here, Jeff, I'm going to send you one right now. Check this link out.
Cool. I just had one earlier, and I don't know where the fuck it's at. So cool. Appreciate
this one's got this one's got a lot of info that you'd like, that you'll want, like win loss counts, streaks, all that shit.
So Skippy, what do you you guys already have somebody for next week?
No.
Let me try to get on
here. Dude, when Tony Lopez called in, and even when Cody, I mean, we don't ever book anybody for this show. It's just whoever the fuck wants to call in and talk in the mail. I don't care. Dude, literally anybody can call in.
What's this shit? Brownout indefinitely. Is that about his fight with Barnett, or is that something else?
Did I send you something wrong? Oh. No,
I'm sending... I clicked something else. I'm just
being
stupid.
Since I won't be a bitch and I'll talk about my shitty-ass performance out there a couple weeks ago. I just went out there a little way too relaxed, man. And, you know, I haven't been out there competitively in 8 years, so it's freaking... Went out there and just, like, zero nerves and just kind of got stupid. I don't get caught subbed by anybody, and to get caught subbed by somebody who's freaking way below you, it's pretty fucking embarrassing, dude.
Can I ask you... Did you feel disrespected by his ring entrance and attitude and like?
Oh yeah, I'll tell you what. I wish I would have had the anger going in there that I had when he acted the way he did. I'll tell you that right now, because I'll break his fucking neck. Because he doesn't go through the door up the stairs. He goes to the door. He climbs over the top side of the cage as he comes into the cage, and then he. You know, after winning, and I knew he had a good guillotine. I knew it's really fucking good. It's not even a technique guillotine. It's squeeze your fucking head off one. And, you know, once he lifted me up off the ground, I was fucked. I was stuck. But, yeah, he did the old cutting your throat and freaking scalping you, the native type thing. And, I mean, he just really acted like a fucking asshole.
Well, at least you got to talk about it, man.
No one else is going to bring it up. I hate losing. I fucking hate losing, dude. I fucking hate losing like a motherfucker. And all he did is motivate me to get back in there and fight. I mean, it sucks because all the guys that are down in Spokane that are competing at a high level, they're like, dude, we can't even submit his ass. None of those guys can either, you know, fighting in the UFC. All of them. None of them, they don't fucking submit me. It's just, you gotta, that's why it's somebody at my age, the typical guys, they're up, you know, 205 and up, so the pace isn't nearly as fast. So that's what I gotta adjust. I gotta come out of there.
Were you too relaxed, you said, or something?
Way too relaxed. I had zero nerves, and my one of my old pros was cornering me. He's like, "Hey," he's like, "Fuck, I'm more nervous than you." And I was like, "Dude, what's there to be scared of? I'm scared. I'm gonna get hit in the face. Who cares?" You know, I had zero.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make an adjustment of that. If I get to fight him next, cool. But if I have to fight somebody else too, I don't care. He's such an asshole. He'll fight me anyways. He don't give a fuck. I already told the promoters I'm fighting for free. I don't care about that either. Let's just fight. Yes.
Well, there was no point in us bringing it up. We knew sooner or later you would talk about it. I mean,
yeah, I'm cool with it. I was,
I posted my shit on my Facebook just to announce it so people can talk, you know, let people know. But I took it down because I'm like, I don't want to hear no fucking pity party. I don't give a fuck. You know, everybody loses, everybody wins, you know, sometime or another in their life. So it just, man, the fucking, I wish he would act like that, like, before we ever went out there. Because I'll tell you what, you don't want to piss me off like that. When I'm, he'll find out. I'll have to do, you know, he got it. He got his W. I'm not going to call it lucky because he did his job. He probably the only way he could win is a fucking guillotine. Every single, almost one of his wins in his whole career by guillotine, and it is what it is, man.
Hey, Hamlet, Coach Ambitz thought that I should fight him next to defend your honor.
dude, I already have my guys on my team that want to fight him because I'm like, I got this one. I got this one. So what happened to Case for Wayne? Some guys not show up tonight, or what was up with that shit?
I don't know. Jared Torgensen came out and laid a fucking little post down talking shit, and then somebody named... Dude, I got a fucking press release from Anthony Woods over there, and it's up on the website, but I got it while we were doing the show, so I just put it up. Here, I'll tell you what it says. I just pulled it up. Let's see. Steve Simpson, Jessica Doner each came to a financial agreement to offset Wayne in heavy. Lee McCurry and Chaz Gruhl were unable to fill contractual obligations. Opponents for Edward Torres and Tyson Cunningham will be announced shortly.
Brutal. Tyson Cunningham fights Zach Gunn.
The rematch.
Oh, fuck. I hope Tisha Torres wins tomorrow.
Isn't she? Is she fighting? Who is she fighting?
Felice.
I don't know who that
she's
is.
She's
going to
fuck
that. Is that the little 115-pound weight class?
Yep.
Yeah, she's going to beat Perry up.
Yeah.
Julia Budd fighting. Who's Charmaine Tweet? I don't think I know who that is.
Oh, Charmaine Not So Sweet Tweet. Right now I'm looking at a half-naked picture of her in front of me, in panties only, signed.
Man, didn't we just talk about doing that kind of shit on the show? Earlier you were talking about, you know, don't be jacking off during the show.
It just happens to be that one fighter has, I have a photo of her in just panties signed. Right here in front of me in the studio on the desk. Actually, what does it say? I've never read it. To MMA Madhouse, much love. Charmaine Not So Sweet Tweet. This is when she fought in Super Fight League in India. Is when I got that.
Hey, you know Shogun fans are happy tonight. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spoil anything, my bad. But as soon as he fucking won, my friend who I'm always teasing about Shogun losing, I don't even not like Shogun, it's just my friend messing with him. Like, I get a wall post, like, immediately. And he's like, you see that? But that's cool, though.
Yeah, I like that fight. I like the Namfan and Takeo Mizugaki fight.
Yeah, my grandpa loved that.
I heard that was good.
I actually watched the card with my grandpa tonight. He enjoyed it.
Sucks because Nam's probably going to get cut now because that's like three or four losses in a row for him.
Wow,
yeah,
I hope he gets cut.
That's the fucking thing. Look, I hope he goes somewhere good, somewhere that's going to use him wisely because there's nothing wrong with being a fucking heat herring. I give it. Dude, that kid, how many decision victory fight of the night losses has he gotten or been in wars that people were just like, holy shit. That kid deserves an extension on his contract. I don't give a fuck he loses five more. If he performs like he did today and he did against, you know, some of the previous nasty wars he had, especially with Leonard Garcia, fuck, why not keep him? He's exciting.
I agree.
Oh, that's right. This day, a piece of fucking paper that says I have X amount of losses means I'm not a good enough fighter, I guess. Fuck that, dude. We talk about it all the time. It doesn't matter if you're 218 and 96 in Thai fighting. Nobody gives a fuck. You know why? Because you put on good fights.
Plus, he's got a good fan base too. So I mean,
yeah, he's got the Asian market, and he's got his own gym, so he's got a pretty good market. But he dropped to 35 for this fight. This is the first time he's been down to 135.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like he fucking went out there and got stomped.
No.
Wait,
yeah, I think he won the third round, but he lost the first two pretty clear.
I'll tell you what, when I repped his fight, when he fought the German guy, what's the German guy's name to beat him?
Martin Kemp, or no.
No, it was Dennis Silver.
Dude, Dennis Silver beat him bad. Like, the shots that he was landing, I could hear them. They were hard.
I don't know why I don't remember that fight. He lost the decision, right?
He destroyed him on the ground. He banged him up pretty good on the ground the whole time.
I just don't remember that fight for some reason.
He dropped lots and lots of elbows for three rounds. In fact, he got 10-8 rounds on two of them.
Okay, I'm going to ask you right now. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to put Jeff from Clinch Cuts the Mouth Guard on the spot. Can Joseph Benavidez take the title home?
Absolutely, he can.
Very good.
Especially, I don't think it's good for fucking... What if the rounds are closed? Where are they fighting at?
They're fighting in Sacramento, so I guess...
Exactly. That's going to favor Joseph, because if the rounds are closed, those judges, I don't care what anybody says, when judges get excited about, you know, when they feed off the crowd just like everybody else does, the refs do, everybody else. I mean, it's real hard when you're sitting up there waiting, wanting to stand up a fight, and you got the whole crowd booing and everything else. Because I've been stuck on reffing those fights, man. It sucks, dude. You're like, you try not to let the crowd influence what you do, you know. They're sitting there booing.
What about when you have a coach, like tonight during the event, during the Julie Kesey fight, you can hear Greg Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not doing anything. That's not doing anything. Oh, great job, Julie Kesey. Great job, Julie
Kesey. I don't know why.
He's influencing the judges.
That pissed me off, though. Usually I don't let that fucking guy get to me that much, but man, that was pissing me off. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought Julie won the fight myself. I thought she won the first two, but I thought the first one was close, but that takedown might have lost her the round. But I don't score a takedown much for points if you don't do anything with it. You know? I don't.
Yeah.
So, but there wasn't really a lot done the rest of the round either.
There was nothing done with it. She was getting punched in the face while she was trying to finish the takedown.
Well, yeah, but there was also, like, there wasn't a lot done by Julie that round. I thought that Julie looked really flat in the first round. I thought Beth won the first round pretty easy.
Yeah.
I had Beth won the first and the third. Julie won the second. That was it.
Yeah. It was a good fight, though. I mean, it was decent. That other girl came on strong in the third, and she needed
what
to.
What about the fucking referee pulling off, stopping the fight in the middle of the fifth round so they could check Bigfoot's cut?
I didn't like that at all. That pissed me the fuck off, because I saw that on the that's one of the few times of the fight I came in about 10 seconds before, and it looked like at that time Hunt was about to finish him off, and they stopped the fight right in the middle of him.
He was reeling, man. He was reeling bad.
And he came back. He came back rejuvenated. Juice again. Did you notice that right after that?
But yeah, so let me ask you, Anthony. You've reffed enough UFC fights. At that point in a fight, UFC, even fucking pro regional, would you have stopped it in the middle of strikes like that?
I'll tell you what right now. I was reffing Joey Villanova. Who was he fighting? He was fighting Cyborg up there in Strikeforce. And I seen Joey's cut. I seen it, and I did not want to even – I didn't want to even look at it because I was afraid if I looked – it was in the third round of the fight. I didn't want to look at it because I was afraid that if it might end up stopping the fight. That's my thought. That's why I don't want to even stop it and look at it, because I don't want it to stop the fight. You know what I mean? I don't want to stop that fight as a ref. I want to start – the bell rings, stop it when the bell rings, and hopefully you go to sleep and I got to stop that portion. Other than that, I don't want to stop a fight or you get subbed. That's just how I am.
That's fair.
Me too.
You know. I think the funnest fight I ever
ref. What was the fight? Hey, hold on a second. What was that fight in Seattle that you ref? It was a fucking war. So many people gave you such high praise for not stopping him when one of the guys was on Queer Street.
Oh, what that was the Mexican dude from Jackson's gym. He's fighting that guy from The Ultimate Fighter that was on Kiesa's show. He had the guy hurt bad, and I just let it go, and he came back. The kid from Jackson's came back, and then he ended up getting knocked out by a head kick the next round. So, I reffed Hallman versus JT Taylor. I was allowed to stop and start the fight. If I did not stop, I was not allowed to stop the fight unless somebody tapped or somebody was sleeping. Other than that, I was not allowed to stop the fight. That was the agreement on the whole fight. Ended up being a draw because that was we had set up. There was no judges. They went three rounds and there was no judges.
Now, you know, it's funny because back in the day when, you know, those guys were fighting and let's be honest, a huge portion of the names that made this sport what it is today, especially at the Zuffa level and the Pride level, all came from the Pacific Northwest. You know, a huge base of those guys started here. How much do you miss those days where you had fighters who would fight a guy who trained at the gym next door who he knew, who he barbecued with, but because there was a check there, let's fight. I'll come down to your card next weekend and fight. How much do you miss that mentality of the sport?
My guys will on my team. I'll tell you that right now. I wrote a lot of guys off. Some of them are even better than some of the guys that I keep around. But I keep, you know what? You're a fighter. If you're going to be a fighter, fight. You know, I fought Charlie Pearson. I've trained with Charlie Pearson. I don't care. I mean, me and Ryan Diaz almost fought. I mean, I just, who cares, dude? It's a fucking fight. Just go out and fight and compete, you know? I wish Chael would have gave a better showing, because Chael exactly showed it. That's what's cool about Juliana Pena. I don't know if you watched that interview. They're like, you know, they asked her she said she'll fight anybody, including Misha, which I totally, she will. And I love it. That's the mentality. You got. It's a fight. Who cares? It's not personal, dude.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
I don't want to shake your hand. I don't care about it until afterwards. We'll be cool afterward, but I want to try to stay focused as an athlete and be competitive, and let's do this, dude.
Yes.
So, yeah, this crap was, oh, I trained with him, and, you know.
Hey, big shout out to all my sponsors. Okay, go.
He's fucking
Smoky smoke shop down the road.
I'm not really sure what the hell that was, folks.
Where were the folks
I'm smoking a cock?
Zigzag rolling paper.
Oh, sorry. Much
Daniels.
Okay, sorry, Ben. That was I just looked up and we had 5 seconds left, and Miss Sherry was like, "You're not going to do your sponsors tonight." So big shout out to all my kick-ass sponsors: Clock Tower Pub, Vision Smoke Shop, MMAMadhouse.com, Ink Tank Tattoo, Revolver MMA Clothing, Go Fight Live TV, and Aggressive MMA Clothing. Did I miss anybody? Jack Media. Don't forget them.
Me,
dude. And the best in the world, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. The only mouth guards in the fucking planet that you can get filled with marijuana.
That's your order, only in the shake.
Now, we're talking about that... we were talking about the card, obviously, with Demetrius, and we kind of, you know, started going other directions.
That's a good card.
It's one of the best cards. Even though we lost the Condit fight, it's still one of the best cards I've seen in a long time for action. Honestly, Matt Danzig, Joe Lozon, come on now. That's a fucking, how can that be on the preliminary bout? That's gonna be a fucking killer fight.
Hey, are they mad at McDonald's now? Up in Canada at 170? Do you see who his next opponent is?
Damian Maia, right?
Yeah, that's not a good fight for that dude.
Wow. What do you guys think about What do you think about Rashad in black on black crime versus Daniel Cormier?
Cormier.
Man, I hope Rashad wins.
He won't.
Rashad's gonna beat the shit out of him.
You can take Cormier against anybody in Hamilton and say
Cormier. I'll pick Cormier. After what he did to Josh Barnett, I will always pick, never pick against that motherfucker, dude. No, I've seen Josh since he was an amateur fight, dude, and he's always been a top five, you know, heavyweight in the world, always, even when he was fighting Nogueira and all those guys over in Pride and all that shit. He's a top five guy in the world, and other than Krokop, you know, when Krokop was at the top of his game when he stopped Josh, nobody ever beat up Josh the way Cormier did.
Yeah, but Cormier just doesn't, I don't know, man, I'm just not sold on him.
It's just his hands, man. I don't think his hands can hold up. I don't think he can crack because he's worried about breaking his hands.
Yeah,
so
I agree. I agree 100%. And you know what? Going down to 205 where guys are fucking heavy-handed and love to bang, you know, he's in a fucking bad spot.
Not really. They grapple more at 205 than they do at heavyweight.
Dude,
they do.
He is going to have – I don't disagree with that, but – he is going to have guys that can stuff his takedown and throw some fucking power and definitely have much more clean technique and higher volume and pace of jabs and, you know, kicks than he does. I think 205, I don't think you guys see him at 205 inside the top three.
Well, I don't know about that. I seriously don't know. Dude, his wrestling is just, if he's taking heavyweights down, it's, you know, there's some good wrestlers there at 205, you know. He's obviously got John Jones, he's got Rashad, and he's got what's his name from, what's the Penn State NCAA champion, what's his name?
Phil Davis.
Phil. Yeah. So he's got those three wrestlers. Other than that, he smashes everybody else in wrestling. Nobody wrestling-wise can hang with him.
Dude, okay, but look,
I mean,
Bader did not even look good tonight. Dude, I'm not saying Bader has to look good. I don't think Cormier is
Hold on,
Bader
great, didn't look
you know?
Good. He should have had 3 10-8 rounds.
He had 2 by most judges, I thought.
Dude, he got rattled. I mean, they got a post about his chin. I mean, he gets rattled easy for some reason. I don't know what's going on with that head, but for whatever reason, he gets rattled kind of easy.
Oh, he pretty much beats the shit out of that fuck out of the hip of
him. Dude, not only
made
hey,
it look pretty easy.
I want to go back. Look, I'm not just saying him. Look, I want to give you a couple of guys that I think could give him a run for his money that aren't even top ranked. I say Bader. I truthfully believe, obviously, Henderson. I believe you could talk about probably Little Nog. I guarantee you he could hang with them. I think Glover could hang with them. I think Minowah can hang with them. You know, honestly, I think even Oliver St. Peru could. And I think Oliver St. Peru has probably just as good, well-rounded game and advancement since coming to the UFC that Cormier did. And I think he's got a better chance to have a solid career at 205 than Cormier does.
Right.
I don't know, man. It's not. The only thing I'm concerned with is can Cormier make the weight cut, because he had problems making 215 for the Olympics.
Dude,
Cormier comes in at
205 and tries to face Henderson. Good night, fucking Irene.
Right.
Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. We got to see it first. We got to see.
Yeah, Henderson and
I think he can make the weight.
Yeah, we'll see.
About,
I mean, I hope so.
Well, you know, and you're talking about guys like Vanderlei and Vitor are in front of him, guys who have plenty of experience stopping the takedown. These, you know, plenty of experience on the ground, and defensive and winning submissively, but them guys are fucking power punchers. Those guys knock your fucking block off, and they all have good chins. They've all been knocked out, but let's be honest. Right now, we know at this point Cormier doesn't have knockout power.
Well, he does.
Do we?
He does have. He does
Do we
have
know
it,
that?
But he doesn't. He won't throw his hands hard as hard anymore, I don't think. I think he stopped throwing them as hard because he, once he broke those hands, man. Look what he did to freaking Bigfoot, and then he did to freaking Munson. Do you remember the beating that he gave Munson? Then he stopped. He hurt his hands, man. He has not been throwing hard, as hard as once he hurt his hands.
I think he has knockout power. I agree with you, though. I think he holds back a little bit now.
Yeah.
No, I don't even really like the guy. Not like on a personal level. I'm not a huge fan of him.
Look, since 2010, Lucas Brown, TKO. Since then, Antonio Bigfoot Silva, and TKO over Deion Starring. Let's be honest, folks. Did anybody truly think Deion Starring had a chance in that fucking fight? No.
Right.
So just take that out of there. And that was in the second round anyway, and it was when he was getting ground and pounded. But other than that, decision, submission. Dude, the guy is not a fucking finisher. He's going into the gear 205ers that are fucking finishers.
Look what he did to Josh Barnett, dude. Nobody did that to Josh Barnett before, man. You have to understand. He beat the shit out of Josh.
Dude, he fucking laid on him and dirty boxed him. I give you that all day long and took that fight, okay? I do. I give it to you. And it blew me away because if that fight was to play out 100 times, I guarantee you that don't happen but once. It's just odd. We all know Josh is a fucking better fighter than what showed that night. And some fighters have a fucking off night. Maybe that was his. I don't know. He lost the fight, fair and square.
No.
But none of us can say that was a traditional Josh Barnett that we have watched over the years and that we had seen perform. Okay? And
I think
not only that, I would like to fucking, I don't remember, but wasn't he on some sort of a little longer than normal hiatus in between that fight, right around eight months?
Josh hurt his hand in the first round, too, he said. I think after Josh beats Travis, I think next, which I think he will, I think Josh is going to get the next title shot after Verdum. I think Josh is right there. I can see Josh winning the title. Absolutely. He's well-rounded, man.
I don't disagree with you on that. That's what I'm saying. The fight with Cormier, to me, was just an up-ad night for him.
I didn't think Cormier was going to beat him at all. I'm like, no way he's going to beat Josh.
I think Kane is a bad matchup for pretty much every heavyweight in the UFC. Pretty much every
Josh has the cardio to go with him, though. Josh can match him cardio-wise, and he's not going to dominate Josh in the clinch like he does these other guys, you know?
I don't know, but his boxing can dominate Josh.
No way.
He's the best boxer in the UFC heavyweight division.
What?
Cain Velasquez is the best boxer in the men's heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think so on that one.
Go watch what he does when he throws.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Lepaki. With that being said, and I don't disagree with you, that's what I'm saying. Do you think right now, with Cain being in his prime, that he could walk away from MMA and go to maybe Golden Glory for a year and have a successful run and maybe even pick up championships in a kickboxing league?
Hell no.
I don't think so.
No,
okay.
That's sort of a takedown
out
there.
So you think his striking's legitimately top for MMA but not for a straight stand-up game?
Yeah, of course. He's not a stand-up fighter.
Okay. That's what I'm asking because you said he's the best boxer, and I'm thinking best, you know, striking, you know, that's clean and crisp. Yeah, I have to agree with you. I do think he's probably up there. I think Roy Nelson on his better days is a great striker. himself. And I believe it or not, when he was somewhat in running good. Hey, dude, you can't tell me, dude, like, when he was fighting in the IFL and when he was coming up through, you know, those weeks that he didn't have good hands. He just seems to have gotten away from him, been sloppy. But, you know, I think tonight, Antonio Bigfoot Silva, I think he impressed me with his punches in some of the earlier rounds. His striking, he really seemed to have stepped it up.
He was able to knock down Mark Hunt.
Yeah,
that's impressive. That's not an easy task to do.
No.
Well, Jeff, you still on there? Is Jeff still on? Did he leave?
Jeff's been talking for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, that name didn't come up, bro. That name you said the state scratch. They wouldn't approve that fight.
Yeah.
That can't be the right. I looked him up on the fight pages, and he's not showing up.
Oh, well, who put the fight, Will, right? The fight that got scrapped.
Yeah, our state, our officials at Skippy, they're a bunch of fucking fags, dude. They don't know shit. They fucking, they try to, the ones that are governing our sport are a fucking joke, dude. They're governing MMA and they're governing fucking cosmetology, and they're fucking, so they think they know about both. So,
but they're a joke, and they fucking, I can't wait. I get to go to court with those guys here, hopefully soon. I can't wait.
Which name do you mean?
What's that?
Which name? The Montre Pinson guy?
Yeah.
He's from Fort Lewis. He's an Army guy. He just fought R.J. Murphy and got beat up. Just lost R.J. Murphy on the last, like, 2K Sports today. Probably there.
Hey, you and guys now they win tonight, man. My phone's about to die for like the past hour, so it probably will die.
Yeah. Hey, actually, I gotta wrap it up because I gotta go do shit.
Go smoke more weed, man.
I am.
Yeah.
Hey, big shout out.
So we're all
mad love and respect to everybody. Hey, you know what? To get us all ready for that, let's try this Eagle.
Yeah. Osprey.
Hey, yo, man, you remember that shit Easy did a while back? Motherfucker said it wasn't going to work.
That old crazy shit.
Yeah, the stupid shit, man.
Dope.
Hey, yo, Easy. Hey, man, we should come off the piano for a minute, man, and bust this crazy shit.
Woke up quick at about noon. Just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young niggas at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the Mac-10 on the side of my hip. Bailed outside and pointed my weapon. Just as I thought, the fools kept stepping. Jumped in the foe, hit the juice on my ride. I got front and back and side to side. Then I let the Alpine play. Bumping new shit by NWA. It was gangster at the top of the list. Then I played my old shit, it went something like this. Cruising down the street in my 6-4. Jocking the bitches, slapping the hoes. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit.
Yo!